Yay, we are live. Hello, and thank you very much for joining us again. Dave, mate, good to see you.
You too.
I mean, it's been that week. Where did that week go? Oh, my goodness.
I know where mine went. Mine went dog training. I've been dog training all week long. It's been absolutely brilliant with a cracking team of people. So in the sunshine, too.
In the sun, oh yeah, it has been amazing. But I've felt a bit spoiled really because I've had a couple of rainy days, and I like the thunder. Oh, it's that. I spoke to someone recently, and basically they hadn't heard of the word close. That it's really close.
Okay.
Now that is a common term, yeah.
Yeah, from the UK.
Yeah, and they're quite clever. So yeah, I had to explain what close actually meant. And because I have these migraines, I've always had them all my life, but fortunately I'm really lucky where I don't get the vomiting and pain anymore. I just get the visual thing.
Yeah.
And it's always in the thundery weather, and I'm having loads of them.
Look at the picture. Oh, you can't really see it. The picture I got.
Oh yeah, the lightning.
Yeah.
That hell, man. And I take it you took that.
Yeah.
Not just random. No, it's a library photo I took off Google.
I stole it off the internet.
If it's Nick one off the internet, I can get a better one than that. Look at that!
Hello.
Did your house burn down after that?
No, we were safe.
It's the neighbour's house.
Yeah.
So we've got people joining us, and it's really good. And my comments thing is working. I'm going to prove my comments thing is working because I'm going to show, wow, from Alison Victoria. Brilliant. That's cool. Hi from the Outer Hebrides. Great news on Finn's Law Scotland. Yes, we need to talk about that.
My God, what a week. But before we talk about that, I always get asked, where is he? So there he is.
Good man.
The main man.
Arthur.
On camera shine.
I'll just see if he comes. He's in the other. I've got my in-laws and slightly older people, they're like quite cavalier, and my daughter is organizing people very well so that they conform to the law and the distance and things. So she's really ticking them off. And I say my daughter, she's not a 7-year-old, she's 21, but you know, they might as well be. but first of all, just a shout out and apologies to my pronunciation, but it's Colm Hawken, the Irish police officer from obviously Southern Ireland, who was shot by someone with his own weapon earlier this week, which was absolutely tragic. And it's something, it clearly is, you know, where he was really known by the neighbourhood and he was respected and he was loved. It's very clear. And I just wanted to show really, and this will just show it, I think, really. Here we have, so I just wanted to show you, next to this screen here. There we go. And this was just the cortege going by. If I can tell you, it's frozen for now, so that's a shame. So I'll come back to that later. But, it just shows the amount of people. And this was at midnight, I believe, and the cortege went through the village. And, oh, here we go.
Just shows you, doesn't it, really, the strength of feeling for and respect for our police that's out there, you know.
Yeah, exactly, indeed. And it just shows how local communities know the truth. I'm trying to get the banner off, but it won't work. So local communities, they know the truth about local officers, how they are and whatever. And I think it's just really important to know that. Look at that, the complete silence, respect for a truly remarkable man by the sounds of it. He was single crewed as such. He was detective. He had his weapon taken off him and he was shot with it. So that's really tragic. So just a little bit of a shout out for him. Any sort of other news that we've had?
Dave reminded me. I can't believe I forgot.
Yeah.
So Wednesday was a busy day. I spent the day with my assistant chief constable, brand new assistant chief constable to our unit. She's wonderful, bless her. And she,
you have to say that? Did you say that you had to say?
I mean, there's lots of senior management I get on incredibly well with. I'm sure you can imagine. And outgoing
agency,
Paul Forward. Thank you, Paul, for everything you did. You're an incredible ACC. We always said on our dog unit that if it was if it was a person we could have as our ACC, there's one lady who's now retired, Jane Swinburne, who is absolutely incredible and a massive dog nut. And the other one was this lady.
That's what you want.
Yeah, Jackie Sabir, who used to be Met. She's now Beds Please. She's such a lovely lady, so fair and a massive nut, which is great. So she came along. I think we had about 6 or 7 dogs there, and she had a cuddle from every single one, and she had a great time. So, watch this space. There'll be lots of pictures of Jackie and the dogs, I have no doubt. And, of course, Wednesday afternoon, I think it started about 2:30. There was a debate in Holyrood House, the Scottish Parliament, about Finn's Law. Scotland, and there was a whole raft of other animal welfare pieces of legislation. Finn's Law was in there, Finn's Law Scotland, and the increased sentencing and lots of other bits and bobs. And I'm really proud to say that they passed it. So it will take a little while to come in, but we're thinking about autumn time. Police dogs, horses, prison dogs, border force dogs, service dogs will have more protection than England and Wales, because we still haven't got Finn's Law Part 2. So well done to everybody who spoke to their MSP and their to the Scottish Government and got involved in the consultation, because you have Finn's Law Scotland with a potential maximum of 5-year sentences. So well done, everybody.
Freaking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And just amazing, Dave, what you've accomplished there. When you think, when did all this start? When was that horrendous day with you and Finn?
Of October 2016, a day that will be forever etched in my mind. And I'll be warning people about long into my old age when I'm in the old people's home if Gemma doesn't bump me off.
Yeah. So you did something, yeah. So, has the OBE come through the post yet or not? You know, I tease you about this because you're always really embarrassed and humble and... But this is just going to be absolutely horrendous if you don't get an award over this month. You've accomplished so much. I love embarrassing you because you hate it.
As you know, I didn't do it for any of that. I did it to right a horrendous wrong. And I bet the poor lad, I'd say poor lad, I bet the lad that did it forever going off, for goodness sake, get that bloke off the telly and out the
I'll tell you what.
There's another dog handler's released a book. It's someone's going to put the name up there. Theo is the name of the dog, and I think it might actually be called Theo. I know Theo, and I know Gareth, his handler, who's written the book. And I knew his dog before that, Riley, who was on Send In The Dogs all those years ago. GMP handler, mad fanatic, loves what he does. So I thoroughly recommend you go and get his book, Theo.
Ah, cool. Good. Okay. Well, definitely a good shout out. I'm just trying to get this postage to this posting comments to work, but it's a bit slow at the moment. But there we go. I've only just got the last person.
I know Finn's got the PDSA gold medal, which is the highest honour he can have.
Yes, he has.
But if you could get Finn an OBE, I would be really happy with that.
Oh.
If you could go and meet the Queen or the Royal Family, I would be dead chuffed.
Yeah, oh, bless him. Well, I'll tell you what, I saw something on the internet today which I thought was quite sweet. A little tweet that was out there. I'm going to show you this one. I thought this was sweet. Now, I think this Hermes guy is, I think he's deaf. And I think it's him that's deaf, not the little girl. And here's the one, here she is. So I don't know if you get the volume on here or so. Probably not. Oh, here we go. Can you hear that volume?
I can hear something, yeah.
He's a regular visitor, this Hermes guy.
She's learnt sign language.
She has learnt sign language, so she can speak to the Hermes guy.
Oh, my God, that's so cool.
Again, I think a little bit of Wi-Fi trouble here, I'm afraid. I've been banished to this other room, which I thought would be okay, but it's not. But there we go. I think she's just coming in. Oh, but yeah, I've just thought that was really sweet because I don't know if Hermes, they're always a very popular visitor, aren't they? Because of they're usually bringing some change in the otherwise rather dull world we're getting at the moment in lockdown. But yeah, so apologize about that. I will refer back to the original room that I was in next, and I'm sure it'll be a bit better. But we were going to talk about as well a bit of weather, policing and weather and stuff, isn't it, really? Because of
Can someone tell me whether that's Harry that's going all funny or whether it's
affects you? What because I like a weather, I love horrendous weather, I love that stuff. I'm not put out, and you being a dog handler, you'll be more than happy to deal with that, I'm sure.
Yeah, we've just got a few messages saying that your Wi-Fi, thankfully it's you, not me. Slow. Your Wi-Fi is rubbish today. Someone said put 50p in the meter, Harry.
No, I think it's me. It's me, mate. I'm just going to take this one off, and then hopefully we should be all right.
Still hear me if Harry's cracking up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so weather. So
Can you hear me at all?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Hello.
Never let me down on here before. That's the annoying thing. Yeah, I think it's probably the video. I'm going to avoid too many videos today.
So
good. Okay, mate.
So Harry and I got
So weather. You're freezing a bit.
How it affects what I do.
Let me just check.
Or rather,
yeah, Nova should be all right. We should be all right. Stay with me a second, mate.
Harry's picture isn't doing what his mouth is doing. Okay.
I know, it's struggling, mate, struggling.
Can you hear me, Harry?
I can hear you. You crack on, mate. Okay. You crack on. I can hear you. I just haven't got much control over this at the moment.
So we there's been a few stories in on social media recently. There's one from Lancashire Police Dog Unit about PD Apple. He was tracking an offender through rough terrain and a stream before a vertical embankment, and then the helicopter forced the guy to go to ground, which is what helicopters are brilliant at, which, you know, a well-trained dog can then come and find behind. And PD Apple then to detain the suspect. You know, and there's another story on there today about the poaching dog called Killer. Yeah, that's an acceptable name. PD Killer. Yeah, not PD, sorry. A poaching dog, a hunting dog killer, who sadly had to be put to sleep. It's from the Kruger National Park, and you know this dog is credited with finding 200 poachers. Now, and if you think about the weather that we've had this recently, I'm sure Apollo, you know, was tracking in hot conditions, and there's no doubt in my mind that poaching hunter killer you know out in South Africa would have been tracking for people. He's back. Would have been absolutely horrendous conditions and really, really hot conditions. And I've been training with a really good friend of mine this week, Carl, and his dog Bonnie and my dog Hero, and it's been really hot this week, and we've been tracking in some really tough conditions, just trying to stretch ourselves and trying to stretch our dogs. You know, there's a huge wealth of knowledge out there. I've got tons of tracking and scent books, and this guy in America talks about trailing, which is a slightly different exercise to tracking. Very slightly different. It's all about hunting. It's about making a dog allowing a dog to be an out and out hunter, because they're already hunters. They've been around for a long time. And I think of some of Finn's tracks. I mean, his longest track was 4 miles, and it had the car thieves on the end of it. He's tracked through near hurricane conditions, torrential rain, snow, which some people say, oh yeah, but you've got snow, you've got footsteps in the snow to help you. But these are all the conditions that, you know, some people say, oh, you can't track in conditions like that. Once tracked and found Simon Pegg's burglar. Simon Pegg, the actor, was burgled, and Finn tracked and found his offender. And that was on a day when it was about 28, 29 degrees, which is just horrendous, you know, really harsh conditions. Because in order to track, you need scent. Now, scent needs moisture. And you can imagine on a day when it's 30 degrees, moisture is pretty hard to come by. So how these dogs do what they do. There you go. There's a tracking video there from this week. That way, pointing the wrong way. That's my mate's backside. That's Carl. So I laid him a track, a really horrific track. He and I enjoy nothing more than...
Can you actually see it?
Yeah. He and I enjoy nothing more than making really hard tracks for each other and for each other's dogs. And that one actually goes through a river for probably about 100 metres. But there's like a felled tree, and all the wood has come up behind it, and it's built a sort of a dam. And he had to negotiate all of that. Of course, his dog had no problem negotiating all of that and wanted to drag him through, but he's got to try not to snap his ankles as he goes through. You know, his dog's been out on the street for just 3 months, and she's absolutely phenomenal. There are some forces in the country. I think of some of the Yorkshire forces and Cumbria and other forces down in Gloucestershire as well, who put an enormous amount of emphasis into tracking. And me and most of my colleagues do too. And tracking is just one of those hugely satisfying things, you know, whether it be a training track. I mean, those tracks that we did this week, they were all about a mile long each. Both dogs did about three or four of those. And when you find a baddie at the end, or if it's training, you find the stooge or the boy at the end, it's just incredible to kind of get dragged along the dope on the rope to find the dog and see them doing what, you know, that they're able to do. It's just absolutely mind-blowing. And if Harry, I don't know if you've ever been on behind a successful track where you find a burglar or armed robber or whatever hiding in the bush, it's just the most exhilarating thing. Very addictive, very, very addictive. I'm doing a lot of work at the moment in my force, and I hope to roll it out to other handlers over the coming weeks about tracking, because I think there's some opportunities that we're missing, and so potentially some results that we're missing. So tracking is my thing. I love it. Any questions about tracking? There's a few coming up. Oh,
it was just we.
Yeah, someone talked about. Oh, Harry's gone again. Oh, Harry, where are you gone, Harry?
I mean, I always took the advantage. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're
dropping. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, you keep dropping in.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Dave?
I can.
Can you see me?
I can see you.
Can you hear me? Have I gone?
Yeah, you keep coming and going.
Oh, this is... No, can you can't hear me?
I can hear you, yeah, but as soon as you start talking...
No, okay.
You go again. You sort your thing out, Harry. I'm going to have a look, see if anybody's got any questions.
Am I back? Okay, I'm not going to put any videos or anything like that, because I think that's the problem. For some reason... I'm not going to put any videos on or anything. For some reason, Wi-Fi in here, after it's been absolutely brilliant. Right, okay. And I've gone again, have I?
No, I can hear you. Yeah. So I'm going to have a look through some of these questions, Harry, and you can answer and join in. So someone said, would I be able to do a live feed from outside to show us how to track? Yeah, I think we could probably do that. We could probably arrange it so that I did it on 4G so that Harry could still be sat there in the comfort of his office with a beer and I could go and lay a track and we could see how it goes. That would probably be good fun. How do you start a dog to track? Well, dogs pretty much
okay,
know.
Okay, all right.
Dogs know how to track anyway. They're amazing at using their noses. It's just a case of doing it together and in sync. So the first thing we tend to do is try and encourage the dog to get their nose to the ground, and you can walk out into a field where you know nobody has been and just leave a trail of scent, your human scent, behind you. You can drop hot dogs to try and help encourage the dog's nose down. And it's just doing that a lot of repetition, lots of repetition, hundreds of times, eventually taking the food or some of the food out to begin with, so there's less and less and less until there's no food and the dog is just following the track. Then you have to think about what their reward is. So, you know, does the dog want a nice big bowl of chicken at the end, or does it want its favorite toy at the end? Whatever works for your dog is what you put at the end of a track. And then before you know it, I'll make it sound easy, but it's not easy. Before you know it, you end up with a dog that really enjoys using its nose. Because you think most of our dogs use our nose when we take them for a walk and they sniff the lampposts and they get an enormous amount of information when they do that. Quite often we're in a hurry to get somewhere, so we pull them away. So we actually stop them from doing it. So it's just kind of reintroducing that and bringing them back to it. Harry has gone again. So all our dogs, all our dogs are trained to track. Even Rory, our South African Mastiff, learned to track when he was young. Our Frenchie, she's learning to track at the moment, which is probably a little bit of a challenge for her because she's got that really short, stubby nose that French bulldogs have. Can any dog track? So I've never come across a dog that can't track. I've had people turn up to, because I do tracking sessions, I've had people turn up to tracking classes and say, oh, we're here to meet Finn, we want to have our book signed and we'll have a bit of fun while we're here, but my dog's hopeless, they won't track. And we've had them in tears at the end of a tracking session because their dog is tracking. And it's amazing. So I haven't yet found a dog that can't track. I say most of them know how to track anyway. And it's just a case of doing it together.
Can you hear me okay?
Yes, mate. Yeah. Have you
switched? Right. Well, apologies. Oh, this has come through. Yeah, no, I didn't want to put this photo on straight away, but it's got a mind of its own, really. It's just about weather. But I remember actually following a dog unit, and I always tried to when the dog unit turned up, because basically for everyone out there, when response officers or ARVs or whatever, and if you haven't caught that person in the vicinity and they run off, if you know you've got a dog nearby, you do not go running after that person, or you do if you're going to imminently catch them as such. But what you don't want to do is contaminate the track by wandering around everywhere looking for this person on the whim of a, you know, sort of a chance meet. And so it is frustrating, but you have to wait there for 5-10 minutes and then get the dog unit there. And then you can tell the dog unit where the last time it was seen, the person was seen to move, to go across over the hedge or whatever. And then I would just follow, just in case there was a bit of, you know, they needed a bit of prisoner handling or whatever. And I remember doing this across fields and fields, and it was going on in the middle of the night, and it was really quite horrendous weather. And it's actually the dog handler found a mobile phone that was in the stream. It was actually still on at the bottom of the stream. Yeah. So the dog handler found that initially and then went on and then challenged these two people who had been trying to burgle a farm building. And they challenged them. The dog was released in the end and had a little nibble of one, which was all very satisfying. I mean, it was unfortunate that the person didn't stop and give themselves up, but it was very satisfying that, and it's good for the dog, good for the dog handler. And because I often thought, actually, Dave, you know, when they, you know, you put that big sleeve on to people that you like so that they can,
yeah,
you know, do a drag down or whatever. does the dog, because I've heard in the past that some dogs, when they actually grab a real arm, they can go, whoa, that's weird. That, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, young dogs can. I mean, I was very lucky with Finn in that when he had his first bite, it was a massive public order, massive for Hertfordshire anyway, public order incident. And there were about 200 people fighting. They'd burst out of a nightclub and they were all hitting and stabbing each other, and it was absolutely bonkers. And so he didn't have one bite that night, he had five bites. So the first bite, because it wasn't on
treatment,
the first bite was quite tentative, and he was like, oh, I'm not sure about that. And I was telling him he was a good boy.
Yeah.
The bloke ran off back into the crowd to carry on beating people up. And then we came across another guy who was punching and kicking someone who was on the floor. And he got another bite. He got hold of this bloke. And I'm telling him, yeah, good lad. And I'm joining in. I mean, it was chaos. You can't picture it, isn't it? You know, what happened in London is kind of quite tame to this one incident that we went to. And so you can see Finn was like, oh, yeah, I quite like this. And Dad's telling me I'm a good boy, so this must be good. And then he let go of him, and that guy into the crowd. And then there was a, he got hold of another one. I think got hold of the other one by the back of his leg because he was kicking someone while they were down. And by the time he got to bite number five, he was like, I know what I'm doing. But that rarely, that sort of incident rarely happens. That, and they were all, it was a wet night, so they were all wearing jackets. But then about a month or so later, we were asked to come and look for a drink driver who'd crashed his car. It ended up on its roof, but he'd run off. And when we got to him, again, it was a perfect start for Finn. When we got to him, he wasn't happy about being found. So he fought us. So Finn had a bite, but I was a long way away from backup or help. So I thought, right, well, I'll get him to start walking back towards the car with us following him, escorting him. He knew he was under arrest. So he'd been bitten once.
Yeah.
And then he decided, well, I'm a long way away from, or he's a long way away from backup. So I'll give it another go. I'll see if I can get away. He was very drunk and very violent.
Yeah.
And so he turned on us again and came back towards us. And I gave him loads of opportunities, and I'm trying to push him away, and I'm trying to kick him away because he's advanced on me, and I'm trying to hold Finn on his lead. And Finn says, but just get out of the way, Dad. I'll deal with this. So Finn nips my leg by mistake on the way to grabbing him.
And
I'm like, mate, you've got to stop fighting us because it's not going to end well. Anyway, we got back to where there was an ambulance waiting because obviously he'd totaled his car. They were worried about him. But the officers weren't there because they'd gone to try and find us. So he got to the ambulance and saw no police officers and thought, right, this is definitely my last chance to get away. So he turned on us again, and he was wearing a T-shirt. So that was the first time Finn had a bite on a bare arm, and it was 2 months out of being out of training school. And, of course, that's kind of like the pinnacle for them. If your dog will bite a bare arm, you know they'll bite. And then after that, Finn had no issues with biting anything at all. But, yeah, there are stories out there of police dogs that will, on their first bite, will run alongside the criminal because they're not wearing a sleeve. It can all be trained for.
Cool. I noticed people are putting on here about when Harry met Sally, or when Sally ate Harry, was because we did one for Pawson Pensions, our local dog charity here. I'm sort of stupidly fearless with dogs. I love them. And if they give me a little nibble, then so weird. I'd be the last to blame them. And I think I'm a bit bony for them, to be honest. But yeah, and it was just this thing. It was lovely to have the dog, and it was like barking on demand. And I was in the car and talking to it, looking at it, and then just giving it a great cuddle. And, you know, always finding out from the dog handler, like any sensible person, will it eat my face if I cuddle it, sort of thing. Some dogs are actually fine. I love it. And I will miss that, and total respect. And I just thought, if I ever had my life again and I didn't go into firearms, it would definitely be dogs.
That's what my ACC said. She said she ended up being a detective in the Met, and she was on the murder squad and stuff like that. But she said that if she'd done anything else, she would have been a dog handler. That's her with Hero. And of course, this was just
Yes.
Hero, she's a lovely dog. but she is a trained, you know, trained police dog. So she will, yeah. on one command, she will do what her dad asks. But and people say, well, how can she be like? How can she be a Jekyll and Hyde? And she's not a Jekyll and Hyde. She's a German Shepherd. She's what a German Shepherd should be. And when there's no need, I can see that. And I can be with dad, and I can be with the family. And if you want this person to come and stroke me, that's fine. But when there's a need, I'll be there.
Is there a secret trigger word?
It might be. Yeah. There's all handlers have all sorts of different words. Yeah. Some use different languages so that no one will know what they are. And but yes, there is definitely trigger words.
Yeah. I think cats was one. I know.
Certainly much encouragement to go chasing cats. Yeah. Mine are absolutely brilliant. We've got a field at headquarters that's normally full of rabbits, and I can let my Hero and Pearl out, and they're not bothered by the rabbits at all. They don't chase them, so I'm very lucky.
Wow. That's impressive.
Someone's asked, do dogs have to track human scent? No, they don't. They can track whatever you want. There's dogs in America, obviously, that hunt wild boar, and there's different dogs trained for different hunting things. There's a growing There's a growing industry out there for lost pets. So you can there are companies that I can think of. I think he's an ex-detective. He actually wrote a book about it, whose dog is trained for lost pets. So yeah, no, you don't have to train him to search for human scent.
Because it's a common one for Jack Russells and things. I know that they disappear down rabbit holes and they get stuck and things. It's absolutely. I know my father-in-law had one once and luckily knew which hole he went down. And he went home, got a shovel and dug him back up again. But of course, if you don't know where he's gone, it's absolutely devastating for the owner, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you can see.
Pet theft is something that's sort of in the media. Yeah. When you lose a pet, it's absolutely horrific. Someone said, my late husband, Keith, only trained the Met PDs on a bandaged arm. Yeah. I mean, you'll find me. If it's a new dog out on the street and you want to test to see whether they'll bite equipment, and it does really hurt, you literally just get a newspaper and wrap it around your arm so it's not a big padded sleeve. And you won't stop the pressure. The pressure really hurts, but you'll hopefully stop the teeth from going into your arm. So
more than a page then needed.
Yeah, more than a page.
I've taught Arthur to track. And I'll just get him for you. But Arthur tracks beautifully. It's when he gets to the criminal could be the issue, although I'm sure in his terrier ways he would savage their ankles. But, yeah, he's brilliant. And there is video on my YouTube. Just look at YouTube, Harry Tangy, and down there, and you'll see Arthur's tracks and things where my son would just go 10 minutes earlier or whatever into through the woods and give him a really hard track. And it would be me doubting him. And I just had to learn to think, trust him. You know, would my son have gone there? You know, he's a bit lazy. He wouldn't climb up that bit. But he has, you know. Training. But then you read Dave's book, Finn. What's the title?
Oh, Fabulous Finn. Stay there.
Fabulous Finn. Well, if you read his book, then you'll realise how much more is involved than just training a dog to track. You can get the spaniels inside of things so that they will track a USB card. A USB card? Yeah, the memory card. And which you would use people use for paedophilia.
Digital media work came from, I think it was Special Forces out in Afghanistan, obviously looking for Taliban, and they wanted to see if they could find data, because obviously data for them is massive, because it could be announcing attacks or whatever. So they actually train their dogs to search for media cards and stuff. So
media cards, that's right. I mean, I remember they hid it, you know, those little things that hold tea towels, looks like cat bottoms, and you put the tea towel in there, or they put a card in there, and the little spaniel was like,
it was actually your force, I think, that spearheaded
it. Was, yeah.
Well, in the UK.
The truth behind that is no one was particularly interested, because they just didn't think it would work. So the officer themselves, and this is how dedicated dog handlers tend to be.
Graham, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah. He then paid for it himself, went over to America, I think, made it a bit of a family holiday, or went through himself. Actually went on a course, I believe it is, to learn the tricks of trade, brought that home into this force ever, Devon and Cornwall, trained dogs, proved its worth, and then the force refunded him. I believe that's the case.
Right.
Because they suddenly went, okay, you've got it right.
Yeah.
And now, of course, that dog could be used nationally. You know, I don't know if it is or whatever. I just come across this photo here, actually. I'm going to say risk demolishing the whole thing. We'll see. But this one here, this is the best piece of equipment I've got for hiding in the rain when I'm on a... I was looking for a Discord driver this time, and they were regularly... driving by in a certain time, and my mate said, should we put... I said, mate, we're sticking out a mile and we could get a pursuit, and pursuits are fun, let's face it, they are fun, but they're dangerous and people could get hurt or killed, so we try to avoid it. We avoid it all times. I'm pursuit tactics advisor, so we would do everything we can to avoid that situation initially. If you could walk into their workplace and nick them there, then that solves a whole load of problems, doesn't it? But this umbrella, I used to hide myself in a hedge with an umbrella. It's the driest thing you could ever have. It's better than the best jacket, the best, you know, hundreds of pounds worth of equipment.
I will just say,
yeah,
never find a dog handler sat in a bush under a flipping umbrella.
I recommend it. You can fit your dog in it as well.
Yeah.
It's not a man test, right?
You can't get it.
It's not a man test, all right?
It is. It's always a man test.
Yeah, go. No, leave it. That is bloody brilliant.
I once went shopping for an offender with firearms boys and girls, and our firearms boys and girls are absolutely fantastic, and the team I work with are absolutely brilliant. But
you have to say that
the first thing they said when they walked into the field was, "Oh, my boots are muddy."
Yeah, no, really, boots are muddy. Well, we didn't like to get out of the vehicles. You'd failed if you had, really. But no, that's true. But no, in fairness, in Devon and Cornwall, it was I'd pretty much daily, we beat the 10,000 steps on your little iPhone or phone or whatever it clicks off. Yeah, I mean, it was pretty big, mainly because of the roads where they were. If you went down to a broken down vehicle that was in a dangerous area, you park your car around the bend where the blue lights would alert people, then walk bloody miles to the location sort of thing. But this is proof, actually, that we got another bit of weather here. This is actually proof that we had a bit of this stuff. This stuff.
Funny, yeah.
It's not cocaine. Too. It's not cocaine, right? I know in your neck of the woods it would be.
You've got a hill in Devon, haven't you? That if it gets...
Yeah, Holden Hill.
That's it. It's all over.
Mate, do you know what my role was? I was one of four people.
You're driving chatters.
No, I tell you. Well, if you speak to Nick Knowles, we need to crank him up and get a place in his diary again. Speak to Nick Knowles. He always takes the mick out of me for it. I am officially known as a snow commander. I was. It was a thing on my thing. The whole thing. People may have heard about Holden Hill. They may or may not. And they mentioned, in fact, Chris Moores mentioned me on Radio 1 because it was the news thing. I did an interview thing at the scene of one, and it was 1,000 cars that got stuck on this one occasion.
Ooh.
And we had Dartmoor Rescue Team. They're brilliant, and they came out and they were, you know, making sure everyone was all right and giving them hot drinks and stuff, whatever. But and he went, oh yeah, so the newsreader went, and that was Sergeant Tangi, and he went, Tangi, what sort of name is that? That was, so I can say I appeared on Radio 1, but it was taking the mick out of my name, which clearly I was offended about, not. But no, Holden Hill, and it was all to do with basically they've realised into Devon and Cornwall you've got a hill like that.
Yeah,
it can be sunny weather and dry down there, but up here it can be blizzards, and it's actually a beautiful when the trees are really hanging down, and we've had to cordon that off. But basically, if you let the trucks go through, they would clear it. But then once the trucks, if you got more than one truck stuck and it jackknifed, that would be it. And if you had a load of cars behind that, you couldn't get the plows or anything to clear it. So it was great fun because it was timing it. It was closing the road, getting the snow plows through again, then letting 10 cars go through, then letting a truck go through. And it was playing that all night. So it was quite interesting. And so since that initial year, things have got... We've sort of planned it. It'll go to Ratchet now because, excuse my language, because yeah. I've gone. But you know, Ollie Taylor, my very best
snow commander, has gone.
The snow commander has left the building. Ollie Taylor is one. He's police biker on Twitter. He's really top man, top man. So he's been doing it. He's very good at that sort of stuff, I tell you. But yeah, I'll see. I'll just see if I can risk your video, because it would be good. I put this one up earlier, and it's just to explain, basically, this is just the training they were doing. This was Bodmin, and it was training, and it was basically if...
how tiny their boots are.
Yeah, I'm under a theory that once you are wet and dirty, you can't get wet. That's a slow point. You know, there's a certain point. You know, it's that bit when a bit of water goes into your underpants is uncomfortable. Yeah. But then embrace it. You know, exactly. Embrace it. Exactly. And that's it. So I was quite happy. That's me on the left there, and that's my motley crew on the right there. This was afterwards. We just finished and we were heading back. And it's just sitting in a hedge on containment on a train. And then you're just sort of having to, so you've got the full command system going on. You've got this rare in Bodmin where we used this railway line that was disused, carriage, train. And then, you know, you've got some stooges in there who are, so we can say whether it's a carriage one, we're doing the right systems, calling it off nicely, just to show that we understand the system, we know it. And then there would be a threat of violence, that they're going to kill one of the hostages. And it was then to see how we formulated I'm trying not to say a word attack on the train, but to actually go and save the hostages. That's the why. And of course, we succeeded. Brilliant. We were brilliant. And but it's just to go through the procedures and systems, because when I started on firearms, it was very much sort of each and every shot was accounted for, because it was negotiation. It was, and then suddenly we had this threat from terrorism, and we needed to have, you know, a lot more ammunition available, because you could have six offenders running around, and everyone has got to be ready for it. So these guys and girls here, and there is a girl amongst them, were just as trained on the armed response side of things as the rest of the country, and we could intermingle and swap and whatever. So it's excellent training. That's one thing the College of Policing are very good at, is because they do set the training for nationally, so that Dave happens to be voted, in my view, the best dog handler in the world, but his training is the same generally as in the instructors course and things like this, are the same as nationally, isn't it? Generally, Dave, would you agree?
Yeah, there is a manual of guidance that we should go for, that we have to work by. I mean, yeah. Like I said at the beginning, there are different forces that have slightly different priorities. So they do tracking, of course they do. They have to have tracking in order to license, but London is so busy that most of their, I would imagine, a lot of their fines, that, you know, the people that they find from doing street searches, because
different world, exactly.
You'll probably find a track, but it could be any one of the hundred of people that have walked through it since the offence happened.
And that's the problem.
We probably put a lot more emphasis in our tracking, and we get incredible tracking bodies.
I might risk a track, putting this one on for you guys, just see.
So basically, dog handlers are tougher than armed response. Yes, that's it. We can end the show. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll see you next week.
So see, Izzy doesn't have to shout me down there. It is true. They are absolute nutters. They are nutters. And there's nothing they don't go through. They don't go around it. You know, why would you go around it? You go through it or over it.
Show that video, can you?
Well, look, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go. You see, I'm very disappointed, because I put some Wi-Fi hub in this area, and it's been brilliant on Zoom. But I'm just wondering if it's slightly too much for this. Yeah, because I'm just seeing a dog handler's backside at the moment on this video, and it's in with a whirly thing as it's buffering. So I don't think, unless you've got it on your phone there, you're going to hold it up to the camera.
Yeah,
that's a very good idea.
I laid a track for my friend the other day. And like I said at the beginning, we do try and make out the tracks for each other as hard as possible. For a number of reasons. One, it's brilliant if your mate gets a, you know,
yeah.
But also, it's for the dog to make sure they're happy to track in any conditions, and it doesn't matter really what the dog handler's doing. And you'll see in this, the dog handler is really struggling, but the dog doesn't care and needs to drag him through. So this is underneath a holly bush, so he's getting prickled in the hands and in the face and in the butt and everything. Let's see. He's on his hands and knees, or he was, going through that prickle bush. I don't think he squares.
No, I don't think he does. There's another one.
He wasn't impressed. And his dog's just like, come on, Dad, move yourself. That's my mate, Carl.
That's good. I didn't see that one. I didn't see that one. That's good. I saw the one where he actually went through a tree.
Yeah. I said to him on the video, did you enjoy that? And it was just one word.
Dave, I love this one. Loved your photo of your daughter and the dogs. Shows kids and dogs are safe if brought up. Or what was your comment you went? He says, just shows you bring them up carefully. They're not dangerous. And the dog's not either.
Yeah.
Your daughter lying in the floor with the...
I'm going to show you this one as well then. So the track...
Come on. Can you see that? He's ignoring me. Dave, can you see that?
Yeah, I can come around and train him. Oh. Now you're a rich retiree, I can come around and train him for you. So this is the other tracking video. So I say it's in a river. The tree has fallen down. And the track goes through there. His dog's already flown through, but he's got to follow through behind.
That's brilliant.
Hey, it's Arthur.
There's Arthur. Killer dog.
So we've got a saying that we train hard and hopefully work easy. Hopefully. And that's certainly the motto for firearms, isn't it? You train for every eventuality so that should that eventuality come up, it's you're absolutely fine with it. Hi, Arthur.
Sorry, mate. There you go. Say it again.
Hi, Arthur. How you doing?
Honestly, I went up the coast with him on a beautiful sunny day, and I would have showed you a video of him, and he did his little going around in circles, going mad. I was lying down. I've just videoed him. He went around. He went right over my stomach. Ran around. Right. Didn't jump over it. He trod on me. So, yeah, a little booger. But, we went swimming. We were in the sea and we were along the coastal footpath. It's absolutely love it. But obviously the 21-year-old kids didn't want to come, or the wife didn't want to come. They don't want to come. But it was Arthur and me. But he is a tracker. So he's trained, brilliantly trained. And I use him as, you know, whether it was a GPD dog, general purpose dog, is great for running and biting people. He is like a little grenade. You just let him go into a dense crowd and watch the mayhem proceed, really. he wouldn't do a thing. But he's a brilliant little tracker, aren't you, Bubby?
I need to write a book about tracking. We should get Harry to do it. I should attach Harry to one of my police dogs and then get him to do a track one day. That would be good.
Oh, yeah. I want to do an attachment with you, mate, if I'm not banned from your force area. What's this? I'm just reading it's always risky when you read the first line, just in case it ends up sweary. Home to retired police dog, Kai. Kai, I knew a police dog called Kai. Is this Devon and Cornwall? He was a brilliant tracker and years ago found a knife used in a stabbing on the beach some way away from the location of the attack. He was set. I bet Katrina, is that Devon and Cornwall? I bet that's Devon and Cornwall. It's mentioned the word beach and Kai. So Kai was an infamous dog. Wonderful thing.
Nuki Page said, can Arthur be trained to be a tracking dog? Yes, absolutely. Of course he can.
Yeah, because he is. And he is, Nuki Page.
Also asked earlier on if you could train a dog to find a Cornish pasty. Yes, you could.
Yes, no problem. Hide it behind a sausage roll. He would get rid of the first obstruction and then get to...
Oh, now you're starting a war.
Yeah, but he is. If you look on YouTube, just search Arthur Track.
Oh, look, Kai, so Nuki Perry just said, is the Cornish word for dog, they think.
Oh, wow. Because I was telling someone today, literally today, that I am a Cornish. I am Cornish. I live in Devon, but I was born and brought up in Newquay. And Cornwall, Cornish people, are a minority group. As 2014, therefore, I am a minority group. That's it. And so drawbridge is coming up on in the Tamar. We're shutting up ship and we're going to be... there is a back road, actually, the A30. That goes into Cornwall as well, so it wouldn't really work. But shall I let you down, mate? You're right.
Sheila in the Jersey Channel Islands, which I bet is beautiful, said that she's just about to finish Fabulous Spin. Ah, thank you.
Look. There we go. Sheila, that's right. Nearly finished reading Fabulous Spin. I have to say it's had a million tears from the first page. Hello to Finn from Navajo in Jersey Channel Islands. I see Guernsey has just released all COVID type restrictions and things. I suppose you can control it a little bit better there. No people allowed in still.
Yeah.
But here we go. Yay! So I think that's the That was about the tracking, not about the Kai, wasn't it? Now you have to remind me what it was for. Ah, that was it. See, now he's Nuki Page is now laughing here on this one.
Anybody who's got dogs, if you find a tracking club nearby or a scent work club, I promise you, your dog will absolutely love it. And once they've had a session of that, they'll be asleep for 2 days. It's so rewarding for them. I do.
It is.
Scent classes, so come along and join in with us, and you get to meet Finn.
I mean, the thing about GPD dogs, so it's so much more involved, and it is all about how to react on how the person reacts, because you can't have the GP dog, and it happens occasionally, but you can't have the dog tracking and then suddenly taking out a passerby sort of thing. So it's relatively quick to train a normal dog like Arthur, very quick to train him to do tracking, because I was taught by a dog handler that was with me, and I was staggered how quickly it was. And I thought, well, that's it. And then I read Dave's book, Fabulous Finn, and then I realised, okay, it's intense training for how many weeks? For the basic course?
Well, 13 weeks is the initial training, but if they're a police-born puppy, then it starts 8 weeks old. And, you know, we were asked in court when our offender was trying to get off with nearly killing Finn. The barrister was trying to pick holes in Finn's training, and the judge got so annoyed with her. She eventually asked me, how often do you train with Finn? And I said, well, every time he comes out of the van is an opportunity to do some training. With that reply, she told the barrister to park down. So a colleague of mine, when we were talking to the ACC the other day, she said, look, these search dogs, because we happened to be showing her the start of a VR course, victim recovery course, and she was blown away. She thought it was brilliant. And my colleague said, they are absolutely brilliant. Our search dogs are absolutely incredible, but the GP dogs are phenomenal. When you're training a search dog, you might train them to search for a dozen different scents or something like that, and it is amazing. And the GP dogs, like you've just said, Harry, they've got to think. They've got to be able to think for themselves. They've got to decide what's going on. They've got to decide how to react. They're trained in a multitude of different exercises, and the work that we ask them to do is just...
Is it a pure coincidence that the AFO's, Authorised Farms Officers, initial basic course is 13 weeks as well? Is that because the intelligence of a GPD dog is the equivalent? I'm working it for you here, mate. I'm playing to you here. All right. Mind you, I don't have to go back there now. But the ARVs, because there's a lot of some of the cities, they just have AFOs, Authorised Farms Officers. So the ARVs in places like Devon and Cornwall are actually much more qualified than a lot of places. And plus, a lot because we're dual-rolled, because we're such a lovely place to live, but unfortunately a fair few road traffic collisions, fatal ones, then they're dual rolled in that role as well. So you get a lot for your money's worth in Devon and Cornwall. But obviously don't get the levels of violent crime elsewhere, although unfortunately we certainly have our fair share. It was John Goodman, my very good mate. He's Newquay man. I should have told straight away anyway, because he's got Hewer's Hut as his logo.
Hewer's Hut,
if you want to educate yourself today, folks, look up Hewer's Hut.
Herring, was it?
Yeah, herring, wasn't it? It was herring, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, Philip Schofield helped. John Goodman was really, it's a million years old, this thing, and not quite, but near enough. And it's basically going to rack and ruin, and John Goodman has saved it. Such an important building. And he basically, he's got the cheek to ask people outright, and Philip Schofield very kindly donated quite a lot of money for it. Oh, so yeah. I'm not sure if that might be, I might have made that up. I'm not sure if I should have said that. Hello. Too late now.
Finn's friend on Instagram, Lucy, can never remember her surname, who was on Love Island. She lives in that neck of the woods, and she's forever putting beautiful pictures of the Hewer's hut on.
Absolutely. That's a cheeky. Mick, but yeah, I mean, that was beautiful. Mick, that's just rude, you know? Mick, it's just rude, you know? Don't do
Pilchards.
It.
You got it wrong. It was Pilchards.
Pilchards, thank you. Oh, John's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. I should have known that. I come from Newquay, and I didn't even know. I forgot. Do you know, I was suspicious it wasn't herring, and that's why I was a bit dubious about it.
That was a red herring, that one.
Their
cut-off age tracking lessons is 9 too old. No. No. We had...
It is for your dog, but not for you. No, it isn't.
No, I think we had a 12-year-old dog on a tracking course the other day. The other week, sorry, before all this lockdown malarkey. So, no, it's not too old.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to get yourself banned from him. Mick, yes, Mick. He's one of our favourites, isn't he, Dave, actually, Mick?
He is. Mick's wonderful.
Yeah,
he's Mick's a retired dog handler from West Yorkshire.
Had a dog called Ben.
Yeah.
And his first track I read early on was from a school burglary, which he got a successful burglar, and his dog didn't poo in the school, which was quite remarkable for a dog handler. Well, the dogs don't.
Finn pooed in our, back then, ACC's parents' house on a search. So, yeah, when you've got to go, you've got to go.
I'm not doing well today, actually. First of all, my Wi-Fi's let us down hugely, even though I've got some decent stuff now, and it just shows it's still rubbish. I'm going to go into the lounge, but do you know what? My wife was giving positive feedback on the fact that I was taking over the house. I said, well, just carry on, go through, just walk by. Of course, you know what they're like. They have to do themselves up and paint themselves and put decent clothes on and stuff like that, and to be seen in the background flying through. So, and I'll just get it in through the neck as well for my daughter.
If she's only walking across shot, surely she only needs to do half of her makeup.
Yeah, exactly. Rational thinking.
Don't come
totally, totally rational thinking, Matt. Why aren't they with us on this? I know exactly that. And then the amount my Wi-Fi was working, she wouldn't have to put anything on. There is a few bits. I think we've only got 3 minutes left. We made it this far. That's amazing.
I will try and see if we can do a live where I'm literally on that side of the screen doing a crazy live track, and he's that side of the screen, can't get my fingers the right way around, sat in his nice comfortable chair drinking beer commentating as we go.
Yeah, I need a little label on this saying lemonade. That's what I need. I believe. But you see, you tell he's the retired one.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't have to set a good example anymore. But I thought what we'd do, we'd just keep an eye out for a couple of little quirky things, especially with the tweets and things, because we need a bit of fun. We need a bit of happiness. We need a bit of, you know, stuff.
Well, if we do tracking, I nearly always fall over, so that'll get people laughing.
That'd be good. And if we can choose a really wet day as well, so when the weather forecast is terrible, because Finn will love that, and so will you, to be honest. Yeah. But no, that would be good. It would be good to do that. You could do a little Annika Rice type thing with Finn. Ben once had a poo in an office block. See, every dog handler's got it. They always blame it on their dogs. Do you notice this? Always blame it on the dogs. Yeah. Mind you, Cal did give him some sardines beforehand. Yeah, you see, that's it. It's working a bit better now. Then when we can, we'll do a live from the Hewer's hut. I know what you mean by hut, Hewitt. But Hewer's Hewitt, yes. I have the keys. That's right.
Oh, wow.
That's right, John. Yeah, and John is alias known as Scary Man. He is in my book. People who don't know, too late for Father's Day. When is Father's Day, by the way?
Tomorrow.
Is it?
Yeah, I bet your family have got a massive party arranged for you, and breakfast in bed. And
I'll tell you one reason why they haven't.
They don't like
because
it.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. They just don't like police. No. Do you know what? I spoke to my son. I know we're 1 minute. I spoke to my son this morning, 21. I might have mentioned that a few times. Lovely guy. Really nice. Hasn't robbed anyone yet. And I said, so what does AFO stand for? And he went, armed? No. I said, what does ARV stand for? Something to do with vehicles, he said. So that's 30 years in policing on the armed response vehicles, authorised firearms officers. That's how much interest.
So for those that don't know, what does it stand for?
Authorised firearms officer is the person walking along. And you usually say ARV officer if they're the armed response vehicles. So you're basically saying I'm in the ARVs, armed response vehicles.
SVIG, what's SVIG? I don't even know what that is.
SVIG, what's that?
I don't know.
You've got SFCs, you've got God, I've forgotten already. You've got counter-terrorists, CTSFOs.
Yeah,
counter-terrorist specialist firearms officers.
Yeah,
they're the ones who climb out of helicopters and stuff like that. And you've got SFOs, specialist firearms officers, and they're in each force. And even though they're trained to higher things like hostage grabbing and things, the ALVs is far more exciting in my view because you're dealing with a lot more spontaneous stuff. And although they do tend to do, even though we are trained to it, they do this thing called MASTS, which is mobile armed support stuff. So they do work with surveillance and they jump out on people with guns and things. It's all very exciting. And that's in every force as well.
Yeah.
As you will have worked alongside them very often, no doubt, as well, mate, haven't you?
All the time.
But look,
Amazing bunch of people. Loads of people on here saying we're going to message you about training. A couple of my old customers saying let's get on and do some tracking. So, yep, I'll be in contact with you all. Thank you ever so much. Harry, it's a pleasure to see you.
Oh, yeah. Mate, it's been emotional. Sorry about today. Promise to do better. And, we got there in the end, didn't we? But what I'll do, I think, for next week, mate, we'll just run through a few videos and make sure the Wi-Fi is stuff. But I think it's all right in there, not in here. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Send me a private message because I struggle to see. So just today, there's 300 comments on Facebook, so I struggle to see all the comments. So send me a private message.
Yeah. Cool. All right, everyone. Lots of love. Thank you. Huh?
I'm off to have a beer. I never have a beer before I come
on. You're not allowed. You're probably on duty in a couple of days. You can't have one.
Exactly.
Lots of love. Bye.